As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, would you hear these words from Psalm 91? Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Would you pray with me? Oh, living God, thank you this morning that we begin worship with this beautiful image of this mother hen who stretches out her wings to protect her chicks so that she can face whatever may come, the weather, the dangers, and they will be held safe in her care. Thank you, oh God, that you allow this beautiful picture to be a picture of who you are to us. You are one whose love embraces us, one who holds us in your care, one who would rather face the dangers and the threats, even death yourself, and so we might get to live. Thank you on this morning that we celebrate this beautiful father's heart that you have, oh God, and this beautiful mother's heart. Your heart encompasses every kind of love there is, the fullest expression of love that there is. And so we come this morning to worship you. We come to lift up your name, for you are worthy. And we come to open up our hearts to you, O God, for you alone can fill them up in the deepest places of thirst and hunger and need. And so as we sing out to you, would you pour your spirit into us? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We continue on our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We finally got through chapter 5. Chapter 6 will only take a couple of weeks, and then we'll slow back down a bit in chapter 7. Today, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they receive their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do you pray with me? And so now, God, as we turn to your word, we ask that your Spirit would move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is that you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you, O Lord, want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know when someone genuinely wants to be your friend versus when they are just using you to get something for themselves, right? Those telemarketers who call, cold call you, and their first question is always, how are you today? You kind of grumble, I'm fine, who are you, and what do you want? Wonder what would happen this week if when that call comes, if you just start giving that person all of the details of how you are really doing today before they ever get into their spiel at all. It could be fun. Try it. Sometimes with my work with youth, there will be a student who has graduated and moved on, and I haven't heard from them in years. And then out of the blue, I get a message, hi, Pastor Jamie, how are you? Congratulations on being a mom 2 years later. What's going on in your life? All these questions, and I'm wondering, where is this coming from? Why did this young adult just suddenly reappear? About four questions in, it never fails. Can you write me a reference for this new job I'm applying for? Oh, that's what that's about. Parents, you know when your child comes out of nowhere, gives you the big hug, tells you how much they love you. You're like, what do you want? Can I have some Robux, please? It's the boss whose employees are overly kind when annual raises are being considered. It's the lake house owners whose friends who were strangely silent during the winter check back in May. How are you guys doing? It's the coach who gets those unexpected gift cards from the parents who would really love some more playing time for their child. It's the people who join a church a year before they know their daughter is going to get married. Interested in a free venue. I came from a big steeple historic church in Texas. It happened all the time. All those seemingly kind, thoughtful, oh, you shouldn't have acts that appear to be genuine on the outside, but just a little bit of digging, it doesn't take much for us to see that they really weren't genuine at all. Those feelings of being used but not really being loved. We all know what that feels like. And there's not a one of us that likes it all that much. In today's section in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is letting us know that he knows what that feels like too. People using their supposed relationship with him to really try to garner their own attention, to up their own status. And he lets us know that he doesn't like it any better than we do. Jesus moves in his sermon from the ethical scenarios, which was much of chapter 5. You've heard it said, do this, but now I say do this. He moves now into different practices, different religious practices. There are three specific ones that Jesus points out. They are the most common ones for faithful Jewish people: giving to the poor, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And Jesus is taking note of how folks have been engaging these practices as of late. And he's bringing to light once again that somewhere along the way, people had begun to miss the heart of it all. People were doing good religious things. Things that were meant to connect their hearts to God and connect their hearts to their neighbors. But somewhere along the way, they began to do these good things more for attention or more for show or more to help themselves out than for anything else. Doing good religious deeds to up their status, to get a favor. Right things being done but with the wrong motives, which makes them not right at all. And that's the heart of these next verses. Jesus is declaring once again to the people who want to be his people, the same thing he's been saying now for all of chapter 5. God cares deeply about our hearts. It is all about our hearts. What we do and what we don't do, it is all about our hearts. Good, good. And he's wondering, are they genuine? Are our hearts genuine in their love for God? Are our hearts genuine in their love for others? That is the entirety of what Jesus cares about. Are our hearts for real in our love for him? Not just using him to make our life a little better around here, but actually just loving him. In chapter 6, Jesus brings up in each of these scenarios the word hypocrite. Now, up until this point in history, hypocrite was not a word with negative connotations. We hear it now and we think all kinds of bad things. Don't be one of those. That's thanks to Jesus. Jesus is the one who made hypocrite a negative word. Up to this point, the word hypocrite, it comes from Greek drama. And it just simply means a stage actor. It just means someone who is on stage pretending to be someone other than themselves. And Jesus says in these verses, if we are not careful, we can become religious pretenders. We can become those who are doing good religious deeds, but more as a show, as if we're acting on stage. Only serving God when the spotlight is on and when the crowds can ooh and awe at our goodness. Jesus is saying hypocrites, actors, they belong in the theater, but there is no room for that in real life with God. It's his warning. Notice who Jesus is talking to in these verses. He's talking to all of those people who are giving to the poor, those who are praying, those who are fasting. These are religious people. These are church-going folks. These are probably even the kind of people that would show up for Sunday school. These are those kind of people. These are the ones who would lift up their hands in worship and the ones who put their checks in the offering plate. These are the kind of people who actually practice 40 days of Lent and don't quit 7 days in. These are these kind of people. These are the ones who are actually giving the religious life their very best shot, actually practicing what they think God has invited them to do. And Jesus gives a stark warning. He says, even they can be pretending in the most private places of their hearts. It's easy for this to happen. And so be on guard, Jesus says. Jesus' first example of how this can happen and what to do about it is giving alms, giving to the poor. Jesus first says how not to do it, and then he follows by how to do it. Same pattern he'll follow in all three scenarios. There's a way to give a generous gift, but that seeks our own glory. We got a video. Ralphie knows what this kind of... A way to give a generous gift, but seeking our own glory. We know this. We live this scenario. There is a way to give a gift in which, when it comes to light, it really is mostly about ourselves. We want others to see our gift and give us what we secretly want in return. We want others to see our gift and be impressed by how wealthy we are, impressed by how sacrificial we are. This is the struggle of the human condition. This is something that fundraisers and development officers know all too well. That's why they make a deal with us. Give us $500 and we'll give you a brick with your name on it. Give us $5 million, we might even name a building after you. And we say, oh, now that's enticing. Jesus is inviting us to think about what is behind our giving. Sometimes we give a really nice gift to someone in need, and then without even realizing it, we kind of start to think that they owe us at least some gratitude, maybe an A+ on the paper we just wrote. Maybe at least brag about us to a few of their friends. Sometimes we give a favor, and if we're being honest, we are expecting one in return. Sometimes we think that if we give this gift, it'll give me a little bit more influence on the next vote. They'll hear my opinion a little bit more. Or folks will respect me more when they realize how deep my pockets are. See, these can be really subtle things, but Jesus knows. And he invites us to pay attention to our motives, to be real about the heart of things. And so he says, when you give, don't let anyone know. He says, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. This is hyperbole. It's kind of impossible. It's an exaggeration. But it's what, he's emphasizing how important it is to keep these things in secret, just between you and your God. Not giving for a favor, not giving for a pat on the back, not giving to just try to get a little respect around here, not giving for a bribe, just a gift of love. Just for God, just for that neighbor, just a gift of love. Keep it secret. That's genuine and that's good. When's the last time that you gave a gift that no one knew about? Just out of love for God and for neighbor. Don't answer that out loud, it'll defeat the whole purpose. But answer it in your heart. When's the last time you gave a gift that no one knew about? Just out of love for God and just out of love for neighbor. I tell you, there are people in this room who do it every single week. Those who bring goods for our pantry out here and those who fill it up with those goods, you've probably never caught them in the act because it's just between them and God. It's a gift. I tell you, some of the biggest gifts to our church given each year are given anonymously. And these are gifts that cover a significant chunk of our budget. And besides the person who has to count the check and cash the check, we don't know who it is because those who give those gifts have asked for it to be that way. Because it's a gift shared between their heart with their God. They don't want any favors to come from it. It's just a genuine gift. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes I walk in my office and there on my desk is a new toy for Miles. And there's nothing with it. I haven't a clue of who it came from. Just someone who loves me and loves my boy and doesn't even want a thank you card in response. What a gift. These are the gifts of the heart. These are the best kind of gifts to give, the best kind of gifts to receive. And Jesus says, when you give, do it in a way that's just between you and your God, because that's a genuine gift, and it is the most beautiful kind. We could have some fun with that this week. Let's have fun with that this week. Then he moves to prayer. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who stand on the corner and make a scene, going on and on, getting attention by what a great prayer they are. Raise of hands real fast. Anyone this week been out shouting prayers on the sidewalk by the four-way stop? Oh, all the time. All right, this is for you, Kendall. Yeah. We're like, nah. Doesn't apply. Maybe it's not about us besides her. Maybe there's something more to what Jesus is getting to. Judaism in this time had developed a practice of set hours of prayer throughout the day. And whenever one of those set hours would come, like 3 p.m., for example, we see that in Acts when Peter and John are going to pray at 3 p.m., when those set hours would come, folks would try to be at the temple at that time to pray in community if possible. But if they couldn't be there, say the 3 p.m. prayer bell went off, then wherever they were, they would stop if they were faithful and devout, and they would pray right there in the market at their workplace. If any of you have traveled to the Middle East or to a Muslim country, this still happens. Muslims have set hours of prayer during the day. You hear the call to prayer go off, and wherever you are, whatever you're doing, many of the faithful will stop and bow down and pray. But you can imagine what happens in this scenario. Knowing that prayer is going to happen at 3 p.m. and the faithful and devout will stop and pray, some people have started to position themselves to try to be in places where there would be a pretty decent crowd at that set time of prayer. And so whenever the clock went off, when it was time, everyone would notice when so-and-so stepped aside from the business transaction and bowed down and prayed to God. And they would say, "Wow, wow, look how close he is to God. He will even stop his business to pray." I knew a preacher once, my grandpa, a good Southern Baptist preacher, good heart, but he loved, when we were at a restaurant, to pray as loud as he could at our table. And so that everybody in the restaurant would know that Papa was praying to God. I was mortified pretty much every single time. Could look a little bit like that. Sometimes this need to appear prayerful might be like a Facebook prayer request post and someone who again and again responds, "Praying, praying, praying," but perhaps they don't really pray all that often. It's these public appearances of prayer where the heart's motive is more about looking prayerful than actually being an intimate conversation with your God. And Jesus lets us know that he isn't interested in prayers that mostly serve to impress others. Jesus isn't interested in appearances of being deeply connected with God, of saying all the right words, when in our heart of hearts, in his heart of hearts, we know we are not really connecting with God at all. Jesus isn't wowed by his people lifting their hands in public worship when they're not moved to worship at all, when it's just God and us at home. It's not about belting out the songs and praying the eloquent prayers when there's an audience, when our hearts are numb in the presence of the audience of one. That's God himself. Jesus says, rather than try to look like your life with God is intimate so others will be impressed, when you pray, he says, go to the most secret place, your house, and go to the most secret place in your house, your closet, and close the door. Once again, he's exaggerating this idea of secrecy to get to the point. He's saying, share your deepest conversations just between you and God. Not for public display, not to get respect, just for the love of the relationship that you have with your God. Married couples don't share every intimate detail of their lives out in public. That would be weird. Their most intimate, their most sacred moments are shared behind closed doors, just the two of them in on that conversation together. That's true love. And that is God's desire for the life shared between him and between us, his children. We ask ourselves this morning, how often in a week do I steal away somewhere that is secret just to talk to, just to listen to, just to be with my God? Not to make a post about it on social media, not waiting for corporate gatherings. How often do I go just to be in that secret place with him? That's the good stuff. That's the real stuff. That's what God's heart longs for, kind of stuff. Now, this is not an admonition of all public prayer. Jesus prayed in public many times in the Gospels. It's not an admonition of that. It's about the motive of our prayers. What is the heart behind our words? Is it genuine? Is it authentic love for God and nothing else? And finally, he says, when you fast, don't contort your face and look miserable so the whole world will know that you're fasting. He said, instead, wash your face, put oil on your face, do your hair, look normal, go about your normal day so that only God will know the way that you are making this extra commitment to him. And he will bless you in that place that just you and he are sharing together. Our sacrifices to God are not a photo op in today's social media frenzy world. We don't go on a mission trip just to get a cool new Facebook profile picture. I don't give up chocolate for Lent and then stand at the church potluck dessert table looking sad. No. If I'm laying down some of my comfort to draw nearer to God in those places, I am only letting God in on that secret. Because again, it's about the heart. It's always about the heart. There's this quote in Catcher in the Rye, and it says, if you do something good, then after a while, if you don't watch it, you're showing off, and then you're not as good anymore. It's just that simple. And that's what Jesus is getting at. He loves us enough to just shoot straight with us. Because he's real with us, he wants his people to be genuine, authentic, and heartfelt with him. Because he doesn't just want our good behavior, he wants our hearts. He doesn't want us to use him, but he wants us to honestly, actually love him. And so it's a simple invitation today, as we give and as we pray and as we fast by laying anything down to make more room for God in our lives, the invitation says, let's just check our hearts. Are these religious practices genuine acts of love between us and the one we love most of all, Jesus himself? And if they're anything less than that, let's just lay our lesser motives right here at the altar and leave them in this place and go from here with hearts as genuinely in love with Jesus as we know how to be. That's all he asks. That's all he wants. Just that we for real love him in that secret place. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Jesus, that you love us enough to want us to just love you back. Thank you that you see the most secret parts of our hearts and those parts that are looking for status or applause, respect, recognition, power, by somehow using your name or this thing called religion. We lay it down today. We repent of our lesser motives and ask that once again, you would help us return to our first love. And that's just you, Jesus, and more of you. And so as we conclude our service with a time of giving and a time of praying and a time of singing, let these things be done from a room full of hearts that just truly love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.